listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Your Ultimate Life today. I'm super excited. This show is something I love doing, and we talk all about how to create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And it's one thing to talk about it, and it's quite another to be doing things intentionally with a focus and power to create that opportunity and to make a difference in the world. Today, I have a special guest, Dominique, who is busy adding good to the world. Dominique, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So I don't do introductions. That'll all come out in the show. And the way we'll start with is I'll just ask you to not being modest or anything, but tell me how Dominique chooses to make a difference or to add good to the world.
Great. So my latest thing that has me super excited is I produced and released a documentary called Wise Women, Humanity's Untold Origins. And it is a women's empowerment and women's leadership film told through the evolutionary history of menopause. Right now, medicine and our society believes menopause to be sort of a modern mistake, that we just, because of good hygiene, because of better medicine, we just outlive our fertility, or the female humans outlive their fertility. But in fact, we, in speaking to, and I say we because it's my husband, the director, and myself, in speaking to anthropologists, evolutionary biologists, geneticists, all sorts of scientists and thought leaders, discovered that actually the science shows that menopause was evolutionary adaptation that happened before we were even Homo sapiens, that the postmenopausal females in those groups helped organize and architect society and hold society together to create the social complexity that grew our brains and we became the Homo sapiens that we are. So older women are hugely important to our evolution and to our current society for wisdom and leadership. And we really need to change the way that we see aging in general, and especially for women. And going postmenopausal should be a celebration.
So I love that. And, you know, I mentioned this to you before, I think, when we spoke. My wife and I were docents at a museum, the Native American Museum in Phoenix, and most, I don't think all, but most of the 21 tribes that are in Arizona are matriarchal in terms of the cohesion and the kinds of things, the nurturing long term, and the elders, they have council of elders and stuff, but often it is the woman, an older woman, you know, the gray haired, you know, the picture, you see them in movies, right? That sort of run the show, and they got to go talk to them. And so when you tell me, you know, the period of fertility, okay, women add people to the tribe, and then adopting a completely different role that is essential, you know, they become with the same nurturing capability, but the group, you know, the leader of the group in really powerful ways. And so your discovery or your expression of that doesn't surprise me at all, because it mirrors that. What made you decide you were going to go do this or explore this from a anthropological or biological or evolutionary perspective?
Well, the way that it happened is 11 years ago, I started going into perimenopause and quickly into menopause. And at the time, if you remember back then, there really wasn't the conversation of menopause that there is now. Mm-hmm. And there was less medical information as well. It so happened that Chris, my husband, had been hired to interview menopause doctors for this medical study that he got hired to do video for. And so I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Please ask them questions. Well, the information that came back medically was kind of unfulfilling, but more the fact that they kept saying that menopause was this mistake of nature just really got us going. And because it just feel right to us, sound right to us, we just started asking more questions, doing more research, and asking other scientists. And we kind of fell into it. And once we realized that there was a real story there, we just went with it. And what's interesting is, you know, because I was looking for therapeutic support, you know, for the symptoms, for me going through this. But actually figuring out that I am meant to go through this and that I am actually transitioning and birthing myself into a very important phase of my life helped me feel better in all the other ways, because it motivated me to find the right lifestyle, how to eat, how to move, how to sleep. And it helped me find the therapeutics because it gave me joy and motivation to move forward into that phase.
You know, that's so interesting, because however you or a person conceptualizes the design and creation of our life here on Earth, if there's a designing intelligence like a supreme intelligence or not, let's just assume there is for a moment. It is impossible for me to imagine that the supreme designer would somehow screw this all up and have this large period of time for these women where they're essentially useless in the context of that. And so that doesn't make any sense at all to me, just thinking about it, that that would be some kind of a mistake. So I think you've got more than just other, you know, the stuff you found is powerful and good, but I think you've got more than that on your side, just in terms of design elements.
Absolutely. And, you know, the most interesting thing, and I can understand why medicine does this, because their whole point of view is 150 years ago, 200 years ago, the average lifespan was closer to 40 or 45, right? So right there, when you're saying that, oh, well, okay, then most women haven't gone into menopause. But right there is the mistake that if they just, you know, I think of campuses, if the medical school just walked over to the anthropology building and spoke to them, the explanation of average, right? 200 years ago, think about how many infants, babies and infants died, right? And then how many women in childbirth. So right there, that pulls your average way down. So in doing that, in understanding that an average means a something a lot different today than it does 200 or 1,000 years ago. And then they could have just talked to the anthropologist and they would have said, no, we have found women skeletons that are, you know, way into their 60s and even 70s from millennia ago.
Yeah. You know, let's dig into that a little bit. So you said you made a movie. Now, I'm sure some of the listeners already are blown away, because the idea, I mean, today everybody's got an iPhone and you know, they brag about, iPhone brags about how movies and real movies and stuff are shot on that. And you see all these press briefings at the White House and other places where the reporters, some of them are carrying those big cameras still, but some of them have got those things that look like steering wheels. They got iPhones and microphones on them. But anyway, talk about the movie part, because at least for me, and maybe it's because I'm old, but I think of making a movie as hard, expensive. Talk about how you were able to do that. And I guess you had one leg up because your husband, you said, was doing that kind of stuff already, or at least some of it. But talk a little bit about that to help people understand the kind of commitment you laid into this to make this happen.
Sure. Well, it is a commitment, and it does take gumption, and you have to stick through it. So initially, of course, when we realized this is a very powerful piece of information and science, and it needs to get out there, we went to Hollywood, you know, to our contacts there to get the backing to help us make this film. But you know what? It seems like Hollywood doesn't really want to hear about women's empowerment, especially when it's older women's empowerment, right? As a documentary. So we thought, okay, where else are we going to go? And basically, it's been a friends and family that have really helped us. And when we realized that we really couldn't raise the money to maybe go travel to see all of the thought leaders we needed to go see, the specific people that really had the best science, we realized that the pandemic had actually changed things. That if we just interviewed them over Zoom, it's okay because people are used to this. So that's how we were able to do a lot of things kind of in a less expensive way. And then the other thing is my husband is a tech genius. He can do everything from the editing to the sound mixing, the color mixing, et cetera. So we just bootstrapped it ourselves. And now we released it on a new platform that is called bingeable.net, bingeable.net, which is like an old school video rental store online that you just go and you rent it. But what's great about it is people can also create their own link to the movie. It's called creating your own channel, and then share that and get a commission on anyone who rents the film. So it's a way to really fuel mouth-to-mouth or, you know, word-to-word communication about spreading the film.
Well, Bingeable, Bingeable, Bingeable.net, make sure that you go there. But this fascinates me, and I think it's really creative just in terms of another way of crowdfunding, essentially, you know, because if people rent it, okay, it's a few bucks to rent. They can tell somebody else, and whether they make money or not, it's easy to get. And it's one of the miracles of our evolving technology. So that's exciting. You've created a movie. What do you hope happens in concrete terms? Like, okay, we need to upgrade the conversation about women getting older. Yeah, okay, fine. But specific, I mean, I'm not downplaying that, but that feels like, let's go raise awareness for, some, you know, whatever. What do you specifically hope happens in universities or in the public square or in the political halls of power or something? Like, what needs to happen to both understand and then take advantage of this wisdom and collective impulse that is has been forever in women, and we're now talking more about it. Tell me what needs to happen.
Balance and voice. Look, right now, women are roughly 50%, actually like 51% of the population. In North America, it's about somewhere between 24 to 26% of either within politics or business, women in powerful places. And in the world, it's closer to 17 or 18%. To me, that doesn't feel balanced. Not all the voices that need to be at the table are at the table. Then again, there's a terrible ageism. Like you pointed out, in Native cultures, for eons, it was the elders, right? Because they have the knowledge. They also have the experience of having tested out their knowledge for longer, right?
Right.
Well, we tend to put down people for age, and women especially. Women in our society are seen as important for their fertility and their reproductivity. And then they kind of fall off a cliff of relevance, importance, and visibility after that. And so what I hope that happens is that this film gives women the permission to listen to their own voice and to speak it out and to bring those voices more and more into the halls. I don't even call it power, but the halls of decision making, and change the power structure of who is making decisions, because there are some things that are not working and we need to do better.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And that balance shocks me. I guess it doesn't shock me, but if it's 25%, it should be 50% just on numbers. Then that means that even here, we've got lots to do in North America. And at 18% or 17 or whatever it is, you know, there's a significant opportunity. And I don't even think of it like, I don't want to have this sound like, okay, we're whining about equal representation. I think we're missing a huge opportunity, because the something I've learned as I've gotten older is to value, to see and to value the difference in perspective in terms of, it's not competition or anything else, but like you said, it's more of a balance. And I really like that word and the feeling that it brings forward to make things better, yeah. Not just about arguing who's in charge, but to create improvement faster and more powerfully. I don't know. That's how it strikes me.
I agree. And look, in our film, we also talk about the patriarchy, that it happened about 10,000 years ago over a misunderstanding that humans had over reproductive consciousness. And if we take a look at what patriarchy looks like, it is a system where it's decision makers at the top, you know, a few heads making decisions, and then it going down to rule everyone else. Whereas what we think of matriarchy, or what I like to think of the future, a balanced archy, is more looking at the community. And what does the community need for its health, well-being, and future? And then decisions being made from there and going out to everyone else. So it's not a few heads deciding, but it is the community and the voices that of everyone that is in the community.
So I love that perspective. So I want to switch gears a little bit. We can come back to the movie in a bit if you wanted to. When I ask you to start with, what are you doing to add good to the world? You say, well, what I'm doing now. And then we went into the movie. So let's talk about what else, because I have a sense that there's more stuff and other stuff that you're also doing, even though the movie right now is the big snowball.
The big kahuna. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am a nutritional chef, and the way that happened in my life. So first I'll explain by a nutritional chef. I create recipes that are nutrition forward. So it's all about getting maximum nutrition into delicious foods. And also I work with people that, for instance, whether they're going through a health journey or they just realized that, you know what, I'll give you a good example. Dairy has never been good for me, but when I was younger, I could handle it. And one of my favorite foods is mac and cheese. Well, it's time to create a phenomenal vegan mac and cheese that is going to give me that comfort vibe. And so that's what I do as a nutritional chef. And that came about also about 10, 11 years ago when I changed my life. I used to be in fashion in the corporate world, and I just couldn't anymore. I couldn't keep telling women that they weren't good enough as they were so that they would buy more clothes. And I switched out. And because food therapy has always been such a big thing in my life, I had a cancer journey in my early 20s. And then in my 40s, I had Lyme's disease that went neurological. And in both those journeys, I used food, herbs, and supplementation as part of my healing. And that's just always been my passion. And so I went full into it. And I've created two food brands, AnnaMariasFoods.com, named after my mother because we're originally from Italy. And I make Piemontese recipes, but I make them here. Piemonte is the northwest corner of Italy. And then a plant-based food product called altrofoodusa.com. That's the website. And they are pea protein plant-based mixes that you can use to create anything from a burger, veggie balls, cutlets, two kinds of crumbles. And you can switch out plant-based into so many of the meat dishes that you grew up with. So it's bringing plant-based into deliciousness and into the more omnivore space.
You know, that really appeals to me. My My wife is very, you know, focused on that and has been on and off all kinds of different things that it doesn't matter. But I always had the misunderstanding that, okay, if I got to eat that, then it's going to taste like crap because it's pretend this and that. And I like the way you're describing it. And I want you to repeat, if you would, for me, the two brands so people can find them, you know, write them down and find them if they want to. So tell me again, please.
Absolutely. So the plant-based is called Altro, A-L-T-R-O, foodusa.com.
No hyphens or nothings. Altrofoodusa.com.
And altro in Italian means other. So it's like saying other food.
Okay. And
my first creation brand is AnnaMariasFoods.com.
AnnaMariaFoods.com.
Yep.
And Altro Food USA. Foods or food?
No, just food.
AltroFoodUSA.com and AnnaMariasFood.com. AnnaMarias Food?
AnnaMarias Foods. So that one.
AnnaMarias Foods. It does have an S. Okay, yeah. Cool. Well, I just wanted to make sure that people that wanted to find that could find it afterwards. So you've had a precious relationship with food. I had a friend who was also had a cancer journey, and the food part was very, very important. It was the second bout of cancer, actually, and it was not supposed to come out well and everything. And they went on a sort of a crusade about that and about clean eating and all the rest of the stuff, and is now okay again after a couple of years of doing that. And they've been clean for a couple of years. So it's just another piece of emphasis about how important what we put in us is. If you could tell me, tell the listeners, based on your journeys with either of those afflictions or both, what do I need to know? I mean, we've poisoned the food industry. We've created fast food. We've created comfort food. Most of it's garbage, and it's full of chemicals and things that we've addicted ourselves to. I want you to talk like you would from the wisdom place of the woman that you describes in the movie. What would you tell me or any of us about how to think about food in the context of this health and the treasure that we have in life to live it well?
Closest to nature is best. So the fewest steps from nature is best. If I pick a leaf of basil off of my plant outside and I just start chewing it, that's one step. If I cook it, that's two steps. So you really want to think four or five steps max, right? So it's not a problem to have bread, to have a cookie or a cake. But if we make things with whole flours, with minimum sugars, and when they're, when you are using sugar, why not honey or maple syrup? Or certainly raw sugar, so that we're keeping as much of the nutrition in there. Then what you're really wanting to think about is, first and foremost, what are the balances of what's called the macronutrients, right? Protein, fat, fiber, and carbohydrates. None of them are bad. I'm so tired of the, you know, I live through the no fat 80s, and now we're in the no carb time. There is no such thing. There's a balance to every body, and you need all those macronutrients, and then you need all the micro, the vitamins, the minerals, and that's why you want to eat as close to nature as possible. And each one of us is different.
Cool. Well, I love that. And thank you for sharing that. And as close to nature as possible is a really easy thing to remember. So as you work day to day, is most of your time right now spent on, you know, getting the movie out there and doing publicity and things for that? Or do you do a lot of work with health and chef and cooking and so forth?
Yeah, right now, most of my attention is on the movie. And I have wonderful things that happen and that come up, such as tomorrow I'm driving up to Providence, Rhode Island to Brown University to do a demo of the Outro food products in their dining hall. And what's great is it was just a student who's part of a plant-based association at Brown who came across our website and just contacted us and said, would you like to come and demo the products? We're doing a plant-based week this week, and would you like to come and do that? And so I actually, you know, throughout the week, I wear many hats.
Well, that's fabulous. I'm really excited. It occurs to me, so you have this documentary about the evolutionary biology and the untapped potential of women, and you've gone through your personal struggles early in life and several times. That sounds to me like a powerful crucible in terms of creating and developing your own wisdom and your own learning and your own ability to guide and so forth. What do you think? Like, as you look at the world from a perspective of nutrition, okay, but also spiritual nutrition, let's sort of expand that and not just the physical body. Like, why are we building a world that's full of so much poison? What do you think is going on?
I think I heard this lately. The fact that buffalo, when there's a storm, unlike other animals, unlike other, the buffalo head through and into the storm. Because by doing that, then they actually are in the storm for less time. Right? But most of us in life run away. We run away from what looks like is hard. So if you're taking a look at eating ultra processed food with very little nutrition and lots of sugar, it's the easy thing. It's that thing that you put in your mouth and for about, you know, however long, but for a very short time, it makes you happy. But then it brings you up and down in emotion and in cravings and makes it even harder. When you're hungry, if you go for something that might seem a little bit harder, like you have to put it together, you have to seek out something with more nutrition, your happiness ends up being longer. And I think that's what's happening right now. Is that maybe we're so overwhelmed with so much that we're looking for the easy fix. And like it or not, life is not, it's not the easy fix. Life is, sometimes it's sunny and sometimes there's the storm. And when the storm is there, it's better to go into it and through it than run away from it.
Well, I think that's fabulous, fabulous advice. Tell me a little bit about how your husband got involved. It sounded from your description earlier like he's just as excited about this thing as you are. And I know he got involved because he makes movies. I'm curious about his work that he was already doing with menopause in terms of doctors and his own excitement about this project. Talk to me a little bit about how he plays. I mean, you know, some relationships are like, woman does one thing, man does the other, whatever, they each do their own thing. But it sounds like you guys are very connected, and I'm thinking how wonderful that is in terms of support and all that sort of stuff. So tell me his role in this and how he got, what he's doing. Talk to me about that.
Sure. Well, for the Wise Women movie, it really just happened because I asked him to ask those questions. And then when he got answers that did not fit in a story, that drives him crazy. He's a puzzle guy. He's an intellect that if something does not fit, he can't stop until he solves it. And so for him, that's what got him going. Plus, he was seeing me going through a transition in my life that was confusing me. And he was trying to help. And he was so confused by it. And for him, he wanted to find out how to help me. And the first movie that we worked on together, called 40 Weeks, is a movie about the journey of pregnancy. And that was the same sort of thing. When I went through my pregnancy with my daughter, he was so amazed by the journey. And he had so many questions and wanted to find out so much. And then he also saw that I didn't have a lot of women to go through it with. So that's where he got the idea, there should be a movie. And 40 Weeks goes through 13 journeys of pregnancy. 13 families are seen in that movie. And so that's what he is. He needs to solve puzzles and he wants to help. And because he's seen me have difficult times or challenging times or times that he didn't understand, that's what he did. He went out there and helped.
And I'm sorry, please finish.
No. I was going to say his next one, he's calling This Is Gonna Hurt. And it's a movie about pain. And because of the health journeys that he's seen me go through and pain that he's had in his own life, that's the next thing that he wants to take a look at. Our physical, emotional, spiritual, societal pain and how we all deal with it, because how we deal with pain says so much about who we are.
Well, I love that. And I'm glad I asked that, because now I'm hearing there's 1, 2, 3, I don't know how many other movies. Is the 40 Weeks movie available somewhere for people to see also? Because that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that was done back in 2014. So now you can just see it on our YouTube channel. So just search 40 Weeks Pregnancy Documentary and it'll come up and you can watch it.
Well, that's fantastic. And This Is Gonna Hurt. I really like the the connectedness to real life. And you made a really interesting point. So we've created a world where we're so overwhelmed and we're so obsessed with having everything done in 5 seconds, like download and double. I call it the download and double click world. Everything needs to be solvable in the length of a TV sitcom or something's wrong. And so we reach for junk food, fast food, whatever it is, doesn't matter what its nutritional value is. It's fast and it makes me feel good for 5 minutes. And what you implied, I think, was that we're doing the same thing with our mental or spiritual or other health. And consequently, just like there's, at least in North America, there's this unhealthy obesity and other epidemic because of this food. The equivalent of that is this epidemic of, you know, mental illness and struggle and all the rest, because we're not addressing the real needs, the spiritual or mental nutrition. I know I'm stretching a bit, but it seems like there's a parallel.
Oh, there very much is. And right now we're also seeing the weight loss medication. And we are going to see some real health issues in the next 5 to 10 years, maybe not even that long. Because once again, first of all, we all have to start understanding that health and well-being is the primary thing that you should be creating your diet around, and not weight loss. Because not all of us are meant to look like some model, right?
Right.
Some of us at our healthiest are going to be curvy. Some of us at our healthiest are going to be lean. It's just different body types. And so this desire to fit a beauty thing is just very dangerous. Then on the other side, some of us are holding on to weight because we're holding on to trauma. And it's better to go through that. And how you're going to go through that is if you're creating your nutrition around health and well-being, it's going to bring up the things that you have to look at and go through. So yeah, it's much more important to take the time and eat and live cleanly and clean out the things from your system, both emotionally and physically, because not everything can be fixed in the time of a sitcom. Like you say, that's perfect.
that's how we feel. When you were 20, when you had your bout with cancer, like, how did you feel at the time? I'm not talking about the treatments or whatever. When you're thinking about life, I'm 20, 3, 4, 5, whatever it was. And here I have cancer. It's like, what happened in your energy, like your outlook on life? I'm going somewhere with this. So I'm just curious, sure, what happened?
Well, my first thing was I was terrified. So specifically what it was, I got cervical cancer, which is really kind of a basic thing. Mm-hmm. And it was lasered off, and I got treatments for the HVP virus, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And it returned, and it had at that point mutated. And so then the only thing, the treatment that was given to me is a full hysterectomy, a much bigger than just taking out a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that night I was at university and I was working in their call center where you call up alumni or parents and basically ask for money. And they mm-hmm. put me in medical school because my university also had a medical school. And I happened to talk to doctors. And when one of them said to me, no, and take me off the list because the school taught me how to treat humans like cars and not humans, and I had just gone through hell, I was like, oh my God, can I talk to you like a person? And I explained, and he said, come see my office, but come see my partner. And I said, so you're still a doctor, but what do you do? I'm a holistic doctor. And this was over 40 years ago. Which was
nobody ever heard of a holistic doctor 40 years ago, right? Exactly.
So in that minute of being terrified, because that was the day that I had gotten like the third opinion and it was all the same. And I just went to work because what was I going to do? Sit in my room and cry?
Right. And
again, kismet. I met the exact right person. And then once I went to see them, I was motivated. I was motivated to know that you can make a change in your life and it can drastically change something hyper serious.
I love it. And I don't know why I asked that, but it's exactly what I needed to ask because this is perfect. You are talking about, you know, what could feel to people like major changes in their diet, in their outlook, in paying attention to what they put in their mental and physical space, and major changes in the way we view body types and sizes and the value of women as they get older. I mean, you're talking about major changes and your own experience, and this now makes a lot more sense to me. What did that... That's what you're inviting. You're inviting us to make major changes, and the strength of your invitation is dramatically increased because of what you experienced, you know, multiple rounds of this situation. Tell me what you think now about that challenge. So you had a period in life where you had cancer, you had something done, you came back, it was harder and worse the second time, finding the right person, if we have any brains, we realize there's no accidents. But all of that happened. Tell me how you view that set of experiences now in your life.
Magic. Because look, it turned out that my cancer was there for a lot of different reasons, right? Obviously, I have a family history where if things are going to not work well in my body, it's probably going to go towards the cancer rather than heart disease, et cetera. All of us have genetic proclivities to some form of breakdown, right? Mm-hmm. Our bodies right. break down. But the emotional side of it, the psychological side of it that I figured out with the help of these doctors just really completely changed how I look at life. And, you know, you call your show Your Ultimate Life. If you have your ultimate life and there's nothing coming up as a challenge, great, you're there. I haven't yet met somebody who is totally there all the time, because even people who have their ultimate life, something happens because there's losses, etc. The point is that losses or challenges teach you more and push you to build emotional muscles, physical muscles, to push you to build good habits. And all of those things give you an even better life.
I'm glad you said that, because the ultimate life doesn't mean no problems. Your ultimate life means living in such a manner that you can deal with reality like it is and love your life anyway. And you can come into those things and choose to find the pony in the pile of poop or whatever it is. You get to choose that. And so it's not Pollyanna at all. And I'm glad you said that. And I love the fact that you have chosen resilience. I love the fact that you have the message of it doesn't matter how messy it is. There is an opportunity here, and you have taken the opportunity of the different struggles that you have had and said, how can we make some beauty out of this? And the current beauty you're working on is helping people pay attention to their bodies and their hearts and do a sort of a custom designed thing that fits your body. And then this whole project with reinterpreting, re-understanding, or relearning, I guess, the truth about the power and the capability and the wisdom of women in their different stages. So I love that, and I'm glad you said that. Let's go to something else. I want to ask you this. So I've asked a bunch of questions and led you down different paths to talk about your experience and life and everything. I'd like you to think for a moment, what didn't I ask you? What things didn't we talk about that maybe more of the same or maybe different that you wanted to make sure we brought to the attention or that we got a chance to talk about today?
Sure. This is something that we bring up in the film as well. That our society, the way that it is, kind of divides women. Right. And I truly believe, and there's a lot of anthropological proof to that, that we do better in tribes. And especially women are much stronger when they come together. A very sad statistic that we bring up in the movie is that here in the US, one out of four women will be sexually or physically harmed at some point in their life. And in the rest of the world, it's one out of three. So it's even worse. And so imagine that kind of trauma happening to you and you then going forward and trying to be a powerful and happy and fulfilled person, right? You really have something to overcome. When women come together and stick together, that doesn't happen as much. And there's a great book, and we interview the author in the movie, called The Bonobo Sisterhood. And bonobos are one of the closest primates to us. And they have done away with sexual coercion. And the way that they do that is if there's any female that is in trouble, she just lets out a sound. Ee-ee-ee. And every other female around her, even if they don't know her, not related to her, whatever, come. And they band together and they get rid of the offense. If it's a male bonobo, if it's some other sort of danger. And so I would love that in the future, I'm just walking down a street and I hear, ee, ee, ee. You know what I mean? We need to start banding together and changing things.
Well, I love that, and I'm going to be dumb here. What's a bonobo?
A bonobo is a type of primate. Like, there are chimps, bonobos, orangutans, etc.
All right. Well, I know chimps and orangutans because of the Clint Eastwood movie, you know, the orangutan in that old movie. But I don't know a bonobo. I'll have to look it up after we're done. Well, that is a fascinating thing. And, you know, it's a sad commentary. And I don't say this glibly. It's a sad commentary. One out of four, one out of three. Like, what a horrifying waste of love and talent and growth and opportunity. All right. Well, I love that you brought that. Is there anything else that we need to make sure gets mentioned from your research, from your movies, from your chef work, from anything that you do that would be valuable to add to the audience?
Yes. One other thing in the food world. I once read a great book by a Taoist master, and in it, in his point of view for health and nutrition, he saw that there's only a small percentage of us that are fully vegan, that our body works best fully vegan. And then also just as small of a percentage on the other side where our body works best fully carnivore. And the rest of us are in that area in between. Mm-hmm. And keys to understand is, where are you? And what foods are best for you? So not just whether it's more plant-based or less plant-based, but of all the foods, even the closest to nature, what is best for you? And that is the first journey that I suggest anybody going through a health journey to do, is to figure that out.
That's, again, magical advice. I'm glad that I asked you. So I want to make sure we do this because we're getting close to being done here. Where can people find out? So if they want to have more Dominique Dubreuil, is it Dubreuil or Dubreuil? Dubreuil. All right. Sorry, I did that. With a name like Kellen Flukiger, I usually ask first. But all right. If people want more Dominique Dubreuil, where do they go? What websites, what places to see, to find out, and to get more instruction?
Great. So for the movie, you go to wisewomenmovie.com. And there you can see the trailer. You can also click the link to go rent it onto Bingeable. So just one place, wisewomenmovie.com. That gives you and all the information about the movie. And then for food, etc., I gave you the two other websites. Again, altrofoodusa.com or annamariasfoods.com. Also, my YouTube, which is Food Lady. Just search Food Lady Dominique YouTube, and you'll come onto my YouTube with so many videos of so many different recipes so that you can really make nutrient-rich foods.
I love that, and thank you. So when we get done here in a minute, if I want to go figure out how to take this food journey, figure out what kind of a thing I am on, where on that spectrum, and I'm using all the wrong words, how do I do that?
The best way is to do a detox-type diet, where you are just going to be eating some fish, which is salmon, mackerel, very simple fishes, and any kind of vegetable and some whole grains. Mm-hmm. And do that for a few weeks. Give yourself 2 to at least 3 weeks. No sugar, no alcohol. And then you start bringing back in the other foods. And you'll very quickly see, the minute that you bring one particular food, the next day you feel your joints are a little painful, your digestion is moving slowly, you're going through inflammation. So then you understand, that's not a food for me.
Cool. Well, I love that. Dominique Dubreuil, I love you. Thank you for being here on the show today with us and for sharing everything that you have. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Kellen. Thank you for having me on. This was a blast.
You are absolutely welcome. Listeners, I want you to take the opportunity to go back and listen to this again. She's given you so many things that come out of her own personal journey with cancer and, you know, all kinds of things that she's had to move past. And so have you. You've got your own sets of challenges. But, you know, our bodies, how healthy, how good we feel, that has so much to do with what we can do, what we add to the world, and how we create our life day to day. I can promise you that taking care of your container, your body, is going to be one big key, one big opportunity, one big step in the right direction. Look up all of those websites that we gave you and see if there's stuff there for you as you create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.